Praise God. Well, I want to bring a message to you this morning, which is called, What Shall I Wear Today? Now, how many people got up this morning and asked themselves that question? Give me a show of hands. Just have a look around and see if you agree with that and if they're telling the truth. How many people got up this morning and literally grabbed the first thing they could lay their hands on and slung it on? Come on, let's be honest. Oh, a few of you out there. That's kind of kill things, isn't it? I weren't expecting anyone to say yes, really. But so majority of us have considered what to wear this morning. Some of us may have grabbed the first thing. If you did, you managed to pull it off very well. So, but at home, when it comes to keeping our clothes, where we store our clothes, I would say I'm a filer and Claire's a piler, okay? Now, what I mean by when I say I'm a filer is that all my jumpers are together. You know, all my sports gear that I use all the time, of course, is all together. I have a wardrobe which, you know, pretty much most things are kind of nicely lined up. You know, if I go to it and that shirt's kind of in the wrong place, you know, you put everything together, you're thinking, how sad is this individual at the front this morning? Now, Claire, she's a piler, okay? Now, Claire operates what is commonly known now as the floordrobe system. I operate the wardrobe, Claire operates the floordrobe. And it's an impressive system. Now, if you're wondering what a floordrobe is, here is the actual definition of a floordrobe. It's a form of storage for clothing which requires no hangers, drawers, doors, or effort. Simply drop on the floor and you have a floordrobe. Okay. Okay, come on then. Who operates the wardrobe? Who operates the floordrobe? There's a few floordrobes in the house this morning. Now, that is Claire's storage system, the floordrobe. Okay, so you've got joggers and dresses. You've got Crocs and heels. You've got PJs and hoodies. You can find all sorts in there. In fact, I could find nothing in there, but you can find all sorts in there. If you need a quid for the trolley, you go to Claire's floordrobe, because that's where the change falls out the pockets, okay? It's the place where all the action happens for Claire. Now, if I needed something specific from the floordrobe, I would struggle to find it. But amazingly, Claire always emerges from visits to her floordrobe wearing the right clothes for the right occasions. I'm glad we've never had any problem with pink Crocs in church on a Sunday or PJs or anything like that. But she always manages to emerge from there wearing the right clothes. I'm glad for that because I think every one of us this morning appreciates that wearing the right clothes for the right seasons or the right occasions in life is important. You know, we choose what we wear. Our clothes according to seasons. We choose what we wear and how we dress according to occasions. And so we have that understanding, that healthy level of consciousness is good, to be aware and conscious of how to wear fittingly for the season or the occasion. And so they are influencing how we're dressing. Now we're talking, of course, about natural seasons and occasions, but I want us to think about seasons in life. There can be different seasons and occasions that occur in our life. Happy seasons, painful seasons, productive seasons, frustrating seasons, challenging seasons, fruitful seasons, tough occasions, painful occasions, you get the impression. You know, friends, for the last 6-7 months and still now, we are living in a tough season, aren't we? You know, with COVID and everything, I'm not going to labour on it too much this morning, but I want to say to you, what we choose to wear in this season is really important. Actually, spiritually, how we choose to dress ourselves in this season is really important, because God, metaphorically speaking, if you like, or figuratively speaking, has something that he wants you to wear in this season in which we're in. It's the right outfit for the right occasion. Isaiah 61 and verse 3 says it's this. It is, say it with me, would you? The garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness. The garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness. Now, some versions say the garment of praise for the spirit of despair. How many people would say that they have known a season or something that's happened in their life when they have felt heaviness as a result of that? I believe that this is quite a heavy season in which we're living in. And the Hebrew word there for heaviness, it means it causes things to feel a bit dark or dim, now and colourless, gloomy and faint. And I was thinking, how can you really put this into life in terms of how it feels? You know that feeling when you walk outside on a grey, gloomy, dark sky day? And you know that feeling that you have on those kind of days when you walk outside versus the kind of day when you walk outside and the sun is shining bright and the world looks colourful and colour-filled, and just the feelings of a contrast, the contrasting feelings, the different emotions that you feel between those two things. There are seasons in life that can feel a bit like that. It can feel a bit dark, a bit dim. Just feels a bit colourless, like the colourless, you know, the joy in things are getting taken out. It feels a little bit gloomy, and it can help, it make you, sorry, feel a little faint. I think that a number of things can happen in our lives that lead us through those kind of seasons and moments and occasions, not just COVID, but generally, I'm sure many of us will witness with seasons where we've felt a heaviness or an occasion that's caused a heaviness. Something we've experienced when physically, mentally, and emotionally something happens, or we've come into a season and we feel this heaviness. It's interesting, it says it's the spirit of heaviness. In other words, it's an internal weight that you begin to feel. It's an inside thing that is colouring your outside world. And it's an internal kind of heaviness that you carry that actually affects your outside world. It's a spirit of heaviness. You know, throughout my life, I have struggled with my weight. And since being a child, I've struggled with it, and I've known what it is to have seasons when I've been bullied for it. Thank God I got taller and then people stopped bullying me. But I've known what it is, and I've known what it is throughout my life, the seasons of my life, to feel the difference of how it impacts both physically and mentally. And so I certainly found that when I first set about wanting to start running and stuff like that, even just the natural energy and motivation and drive to want to do that stuff was harder when I was heavier. The get up and go, just the natural speed of things. I found that the lighter I got, the faster I got. The endurance, I remember the first time I'd done a run going a short way round the block and just coming back feeling like I'd run a London Marathon, you know? And then, I don't know if you know this, I did run a London Marathon. Sorry, just dropped that one in there. Albeit, it was awful, but I ran one. I remember the pain. I remember the first time when I done it. I remember the first few times, I remember just feeling this searing pain down my left hip when I was running. But I remember that as I began to lose weight and that weight came off and that pressure came off the joints, that pain disappeared and I no longer felt it. I know that when we feel heavier, smaller things take bigger effort. Now, this is not a weight seminar or anything like that, but I want us to understand the parallel between the physical, the natural, and the spiritual, because conversely, the lighter I felt and the lighter I become, the more energy, the more get up and go, the more speed, the more endurance, the less pain, the easier things became. I want to say to you that a spirit of heaviness affects us in a similar way. You know, that internal weight that you can have, it just seems to make everything harder. Would you witness with that? That when you feel a heaviness, just spiritually, the get up and go, the motivation, the drive, the, you know, just the keeping going, the perseverance, all them sorts of things, they feel so much harder when you carry a spirit of heaviness. So the big question this morning that you're all asking me is, how do we shift the spirit of heaviness? And I hope to be able to just help us with that this morning and encourage us. Now, you may not have felt it in this season. Praise God if you haven't. You know, I don't want to be a prophet of doom, but I think at some point you will come across something of this experience. So even if you're not in that season right now, bank it for a later day, because it could prove very helpful. But I want us to understand this morning the significance of Isaiah 61, which is where we read the garment of praise for the spirit all my life. I don't know what's happened to that, but that's gone all over the shop. It didn't look like when I put it in, so I don't know what's happened, but Andy will do his best to rectify it. But Isaiah 61 is so important. It's the prophecy. Isaiah 61 is a prophecy about the coming Messiah and what he will do. Now, in Luke 4, when Jesus began his ministry, all those years later, he visited the synagogue in Nazareth. And it says that that day he stood up and a scroll was handed to him and he found a portion of scripture and he read that scripture and he read from Isaiah 61. In Luke 4, you can read about it. He visited the synagogue in his hometown and he read from Isaiah 61. And when he'd finished reading it, he handed that scripture scroll back. And then he shocked everyone with these words. He says, "Today this scripture has been fulfilled in your hearing." Now everyone knew that Isaiah 61 there, everyone knew that that was a prophecy about the coming Messiah and what he would do. And I want to read it to you from the New King James Version, verse 1 to 3. It's titled in the New King James Version of the Bible, "The Good News of Salvation. The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because the Lord has anointed me to preach good tidings to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives and the opening of the prison to those who are bound, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all who mourn, to console those who mourn in Zion, to give them beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning, the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness, that they may be called trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that he may be glorified." You know, Isaiah 61 / Luke 4 is what we'd now call the gospel message, isn't it, really? We'd call it the gospel. That's why the New King James Version says of Isaiah 61, it is the good news of salvation. There is salvation. Broken hearts are healed. There is freedom for prisoners. There are chains that are broken. There is comfort and joy and righteousness. That is the gospel. And Jesus stands that day and he says, fulfilled. What you read in Isaiah 61 about the coming Messiah, it's me. And actually, he's saying this, I want you to know something else. The gospel, it's me. Do you know this morning, the gospel is not a product, it is a person. It's the person of Jesus Christ. It's not a product that we can acquire, you know, in our life. It's the effect and the working of a person in and through and upon our life. Jesus is the gospel. It's why the Apostle Paul says, we preach Christ crucified. All the effects of the gospel are there, but it's the effect of a person upon your life. Because if people are looking for salvation, healing, freedom, release, comfort, joy, righteousness, come on, it's all found in Jesus. The gospel is a person. It is not a product that we sell like some door-to-door salesman. It is a person, and it is the person of Jesus Christ. So when Jesus takes them back to Isaiah 61, he's saying, everything you're reading right there, it's me. Everything that you see in there and all that's going to happen, it's about me. So when it says in verse 3 that there is someone who gives us a garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness, that there is someone who would give you a garment to wear that would remove and lift off heaviness, who is that person? It's Jesus. Isaiah 61, it's me. The Messiah, it's me. The gospel, it's me. I'll break the chains. I'll set you free. I'll heal your broken hearts. I'll break off that spirit of heaviness by giving you a garment of praise. Now, if you study and read the commentaries about these garments, and I've been through every commentary and everything that I can that I could read through, people talk about them as the robes of salvation and righteousness. How many people know this morning only Jesus can give you robes of salvation and righteousness? Isaiah 61 verse 10 says, "I will greatly rejoice in the Lord. My soul shall be joyful in my God, for he has clothed me with the garments of salvation. He has covered me with the robe of righteousness." Hallelujah. How many people this morning are clothed with the garments of salvation? Aren't you glad this morning to be covered with the robe of righteousness? So Jesus is saying that the day that you are saved, he's saying, I had a change of clothes for you that I wanted you to wear, that I want you to wear. It is the garments of praise. It is the garments of salvation. The day that you were, the day you came to Christ, the day he saved you, he came into your heart as your Lord and Savior. You were clothed in his righteousness. You were clothed in salvation. These garments that the Bible's speaking of, they are garments of praise, garments of joy. How many people know this morning we have so much reason to praise God because we are clothed in salvation. We are clothed in his righteousness. That means that wearing these garments, they speak of the joy of my salvation, the greatness of my God, the victory of the cross. They say that I'm accepted and I'm loved and I'm forgiven and I am free and I am a son or a daughter of God. Wearing these garments gives me cause to praise. Now I'm going to get my wife to come and help me, and she's just going to bring an item up right now, because this word garment in the Hebrew, if you just bring it up to me, darling, if that's okay. This word garment in the Hebrew, no, I need you as well. So, oh, nothing to see here. So it's not like it's on camera and being beamed around YouTube. Anyway, a garment means to wrap. It means a wrap or a mantle. Okay, and so it's literally something that you would wear wrapped around you. Okay, so if you just stand like that and hold that for me. It's something, just nudge back over here where I am. Now, that Hebrew word there for wrap and mantle, as I say, it means something to wrap around you. Now, listen to this, because I think this is beautiful. Jesus wants you to know this morning. He's saying, I want you to know. I want you to let the knowledge that you are clothed in salvation, that you are clothed in righteousness. Let the knowledge of the joy of what it means to be saved, the greatness of God, the victory of the cross, let it be clothed and wrapped around you. Let the truth that you are accepted and loved, forgiven and free, that you are a son or a daughter of God, let that truth be wrapped around you. As you're walking through that day life, let it be wrapped around you. I'm forgiven, I'm accepted, I'm free, I'm saved, I'm a king of kings, I'm a child of the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. I need to let that truth be wrapped around me in the seasons of life. Thank you, I might need you back in a moment. They are called the garments of praise. Praise is tehillah in the Hebrew word. It means they are garments of adoration and thanksgiving. Laudation, that's a great word we don't use very much. They actually literally mean this. They are praise song garments. How many people have sung that song before? Put on your garments of praise for the spirit of heaviness. We sing that, don't we? Not for a long time, but we have. It means this. It means choose to get on or put on your adoration, your thanksgiving, your songs of praise. Jesus has given you reason to celebrate and be thankful. It means this, rejoice in the goodness of God, adore him, that's adoration, and rejoice in the joy of your salvation. Something begins to shift and break. A spirit of heaviness begins to shift, and we shift that way when we adore Jesus. And we just sing our songs of praise about how great our God is. And when we rejoice in the joy of our salvation. I want to ask you a question this morning. When's the last time you've done nothing else? You didn't pray, put anything else on the agenda, but you just spent some time in the presence of God, adoring him for how great he is, and rejoicing in the joy of your salvation? When's the last time you had a real good praise time in the presence of God? Just thanking him that you are saved, you are wrapped in his acceptance and love and forgiveness, clothed in salvation, wearing robes of righteousness. Commentary said that in the Bible, garments of praise were worn on Thanksgiving days. They had garments appropriated to their conditions, some suitable to times of rejoicing, some to times of mourning. So when we read about things like sackcloth. Garments of praise were bright colored garments, indicative of thankfulness and celebration, instead of those that indicate despondency. What does it mean to wear a garment of praise? It means that I come into his presence thankful. I celebrate what? The greatness of God and the joy of my salvation. I choose to wear thankfulness and rejoicing and celebration. I tehillah. I sing songs of adoration about how great and beautiful and amazing my Jesus is. I sing songs of thanksgiving that rejoice in the joy of my salvation. Thanking him for the cross, the blood, the resurrection, for what he's done. That I'm accepted and loved, I'm forgiven and free. That I'm a son or a daughter of God. And those are the clothes that remove a spirit of heaviness. As I begin to praise him or get my praise on, turn to the person next to you and say, get your praise on. As I choose to do that, something begins to shift in the way I feel, the way I see, the way I think. Psalm 100 says this, make a joyful noise to the Lord, all the earth. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come into his presence with singing. Know that the Lord, he is God. It is he who made us, and we are his. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture. Enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. Give thanks to him. Bless his name, for the Lord is good. His steadfast love endures forever, and his faithfulness to all generations. How do I get access? How do I come into the presence of God? I come into his presence with singing. I enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. Praise gives me access to the presence of God. When I get in the presence of God, the way I feel, the way I see, the way I think begins to change. In the presence of God, Psalm 16, verse 11 says, in your presence is fullness of joy. Do you know this morning, you cannot complain your way into joy, but you can praise your way into it. In seasons of heaviness, we sometimes feel frustration and anger, maybe bitterness, etc., and we can complain. I can do that with the best of them. But I cannot complain my way into joy. I just complain my way into further heaviness. But I can praise my way into joy, into lightness. Adoration. You know, one of my favorite songs at the moment that I keep singing, you'll have to go and listen to it yourself. I'm nearly done, is a song called We Praise You. It says this, let praise be a weapon that silences the enemy. Let praise be a weapon that conquers all anxiety. Let it rise, let praise arise. We sing your name in the dark and it changes everything. We sing with all we are and we claim your victory. Let it rise. Let praise arise. We'll see you break down every wall. We'll watch the giants fall. Fear cannot survive when we praise you. The God of breakthroughs on our side. Forever lift him high. With all creation, God, we praise you. There's a one for the worship team to learn for some coming weeks. In a heavy season, friends, make sure you keep on praising God. It's how you access his presence. It's how you experience his joy. I want to encourage you every day, don't just take tea and coffee breaks. Take some praise breaks. You say, but life is busy, Daryl. You know, I work in a factory. Someone was talking to me the other day about working in a factory in the tea room where they all have to queue up to go. And you say, you know, I just can't imagine me belting out Waymaker in the middle of the factory canteen. You know, or in school or in your lesson or whatever. You know, Daryl, I know what you're saying. But do you know what, friends? It doesn't mean you can't praise God. Ephesians 5, verse 19 to 20 says, we can go about singing and making melody to the Lord in your heart, giving thanks always and everything to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. I can just begin to stand there and praise God and worship God and thank God in my heart. Colossians 3, verse 16 calls us to be thankful. It says we need to go about singing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs with thankfulness in your hearts. I just wonder, what would our day look like if we took some praise breaks? You know, there may be times we can speak it out and sing it out in the car. You ever had that when you're belting it out at the traffic lights and the person next door is just looking at you like, what's going on in there? There may be times when just quietly, I stand in that queue to get in that factory canteen, I just begin to say in my heart, oh God, you're so good. I adore you, Jesus. I'm so glad to be saved. Do you know, I found myself in an environment this week with just a bunch of guys, and I've not been in an environment like that for a long time, and I just thought to myself, I'm so glad I'm saved. So glad I'm saved. Clothed in his righteousness. And I want to finish today with a well-known story, and we're going to praise God. The story of the prodigal son. I just want to read it to you. Just make a couple of simple points. There was a man who had two sons. The younger of them said to his father, Father, give me the share of property that is coming to me. He divided his property between them. Not many days later, the younger son gathered all he had and took a journey into a far country, and there he squandered his property in reckless living. And when he had spent everything, a severe famine arose in that country, and he began to be in need. So he went and hired himself out to one of the citizens of that country, who sent him into his fields to feed pigs. He was longing to be fed with the pods that the pigs ate, and no one gave him anything. How many people know this is a season of heaviness for this guy? But when he came to himself, he said, how many of my father's hired servants have more than enough bread, but I perish here with hunger? This is heavy. I will arise and go to my father. I will say to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before you. I'm no longer worthy to be called your son. Treat me as one of your hired servants. He arose and came to his father, but while he was still a long way off, his father saw him, felt compassion, and ran and embraced him and kissed him. And the son said to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son. Just pause there for a moment. He's rejected the father. He's gone off and lived a life of sin, which has ultimately led to sadness and heaviness. Temporary pleasure, but it brought him no joy. And he's carrying the heaviness of the mess in which he's found himself, the heaviness of the guilt, the heaviness of the failure, the heaviness of the pain of rejecting the father. And verse 22 says, but the father said to his servants, bring quickly the best robe and put it on him. Bring quickly the best robe and put it on him, and put a ring on his hands and shoes on his feet. Claire, can you just come back for me for a moment? Just stand beside me. When he came home to the father, the first thing the father did after holding him and embracing him and just weeping upon his neck and just kissing him was he gave him a change of clothes. He came home wearing clothes that said, I'm a failure and a mess. He came home wearing clothes that says there's pain and just guilt and frustration and anger and all this stuff. He came home from wearing clothes that just represented a sinful life that he'd been off and living. But the first thing the father did was give him a change of clothes. And when he put that robe upon him, he was saying this, I want you to know, and I want everyone else to know, this is my son. And I'm standing him here in this robe because I want everyone to know, I want you to know and everyone else to know, you are clothed in my love. You are clothed in my forgiveness. You are clothed in my acceptance. You are part of my family. It says, and he says, and bring the fattened calf and kill it, verse 23 to 24, and let us do what? Eat and all go home. Eat and celebrate. Let us praise. Let us have a wild time. For this my son was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found. And they began to celebrate, you can sit down. He wore garments of praise. Garments of a father's love. Garments of a father's acceptance. Garments of a father's forgiveness. The garments of sonship. And wearing those garments meant the father said, because you're now clothed in them, there's only one fitting thing that we can do. Party. Celebrate. Rejoice. I want to ask you a question this morning. Who's saved today? Oh, you almost sounded like you believed it. I want to tell everyone at home, there's about 50, 60 people in the room, Ellie. It may have sounded like two or three, but just to prove it to you, we're going to try again. Who is saved today? Yeah. Amen. Do you know what? Stand to your feet then. Stand there and just close your eyes for a moment. I want to tell you something. I'm going to ask the band to come back. I want to tell you something. As you stand there right now, you are wrapped and clothed in the Father's love, the Father's acceptance, and the Father's forgiveness. I want you today to get your praise on. I want you to put on your garments of praise. You say, what does that mean? It simply means this. I want you to bring your adoration. Bring your thanksgiving. Bring your songs of praise as best as we can in this time right now. I want you to say, do you know what? I've been feeling heavy, but today I choose to wear my praise. I choose to wear my praise. I might not feel like it. I might feel more like complaining, but I choose to bless the Lord this morning. As David said, is it Psalm 34? I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise will continually be upon my lips. I will, he says. I choose in this moment to get my praise on. I choose in this moment to wear my adoration because God is good. Because Jesus is wonderful. I choose in this time to get my praise on and rejoice in the joy of my salvation. Friends, we have so much reason to celebrate in a heavy season. And what is the reason? It is the goodness of God, and it is the joy of your salvation. And that, my friends, breaks shifts and moves the spirit of heaviness. Amen.